just wanted to acknowledge my co-investigators, David Lombardi and Julie Pahib at the Liberty Mutual Research Institute for Safety. And I'm at the University of Maryland School of Medicine as of about 6 weeks ago. Page down. Oh, that one there. Okay, page down. As a bit of background to this, and you've already seen some data from the Ambulatory Medical Care Survey, emergency department data are increasingly being used for injury surveillance and injury research purposes. And one of the assumptions, either sort of implicit or explicit, is that they often provide useful data on less serious injuries not captured by hospital discharge or fatality data. In other words, we have good data sources on injury fatalities. We have National Hospital Discharge Survey. We now have the National Inpatient Sample. So we can really get good data on the more serious injuries. But how do we get data on the sort of spectrum of the non-serious injuries? And if you look, for example, even at the Ambulatory Medical Care Survey, we also have private doctor's office surveys so that we can try and capture the spectrum of this. But few questions, and also there's a lot of data being made use of the NICE survey and the all-injury survey that CDC runs or sponsors. But few studies, however, question how representative this ED data are of all medically treated injuries. And I was involved in an early commentary a few number of years ago which suggested that emergency department data may be biased by factors such as age, sex, gender, and socioeconomic status. And I'd always been looking for an opportunity to examine this. And that's really what the inherent subtitle of my talk is, Acute Confusional Syndrome. How well do emergency department patients represent all medically treated injuries? And are they really providing a representative sample, or are there really some serious sort of issues of representation within them? And so in some of my work I've been doing with the National Health Interview Survey, I discovered one day that they had these questions on place of treatment, and it was a wonderful opportunity to explore this thing that I've been wanting to explore for some time. It's this one, is it?
Yes.
Good. So the objective of this study is to estimate the percentage of people who use the ED for care of medically treated injuries, to determine to which the extent to which types of health insurance coverage influence whether sick people, whether injured people with similar injuries seek treatment in the ED or elsewhere, and we divided our insurance into private, public, or uninsured. And if you actually get involved in the survey, it's very, very complicated. And as usual, the NCHS provide the most wonderful advice and assistance to you in using it so that you can eventually work your way around this very complicated sort of algorithms to be able to do this. The other objective is to determine if the effect of health insurance on place of treatment is modified by demographic factors and other variables that we look at, and we'll show you what they are later. And then the bottom line is to really evaluate the representative of the ED data for estimating the incidence of medically treated injuries. So we looked at the sample of cases, and you can see what large numbers are involved here. This is when you can combine multiple years. This is the unadjusted number, I might add to you, and then later on you adjust it to get national estimates. The almost 8,000 medically treated injuries from the 2000-2003. I think most of you probably know it's a multi-stage sampling. You have to use weights and to create national estimates. And we use both SAS and Sudan to account for the complex sampling design, which is necessary. So the treatment location, the interesting thing is there's a checkbox for yes, no for each place of treatment. And so you have to sort of define it in a hierarchical fashion. And so we made up our own sort of, I guess, in essence, a severity level. In other words, that if you'd gone to the ED, we considered that the highest level of care. And the ED also included anybody that was admitted, with the assumption that even those that didn't check the ED were actually admitted through the ED. So it was either ED or hospitalization is the highest level of care. The other locations in hierarchical order were outpatient department or clinic, doctor's office, or phone call to doctor. And in the newer surveys, they don't differentiate between the outpatient department and doctor's office. And we were interested in looking at this, and that's one of the reasons why we didn't combine it with some of the more recent years, because of some of the issues of occupational injuries and how representative they might be, which are more likely to go to specialized occupational health clinics. And then one of the other interesting things that is we'd actually got three-quarters of the way, almost finished our study, we discovered, we thought, well, we should also try and adjust for income. And then we went and found that 22% of them have people. It's really the only variable in the National Center for Health Statistics data. Everything else has like really high response rates, absolutely wonderful. But 22% of them have missing income. And they, just as we were trying to do this part of the study, they released this estimates, and they've got these multiple imputation methods. And I think it's worth just pointing it out to people. And it's really kind of cool, and we eventually learned how to use that as well. And it was a lot of fun. And so that was something that we added to sort of for the cuteness factor. Anyway, we used multiple weighted logistic regression models to model the relationship between place of treatment and the covariates we looked at was this health insurance, dividing it into private, public, and uninsured, age, gender, race, ethnicity combinations, and region of the country. The country was divided, as was shown in the Amateur Medical Care Survey, into sort of the major geographic regions in the country. The nature of injury and the cause of injury, because obviously, you know, if you've got just a minor cut, you might be more likely to go to one place compared to sort of having your finger or your arm or worse parts amputated. And also we looked at whether work status and occupational injury, for example, might be an issue. And income, was actually measured by poverty level, because income, just using income alone is not a good indicator, because if you have only, if you have 12 people in your household, and your household income is $50,000, it doesn't go very far. But if you only have one person in your household and you've got $50,000, you can probably afford to come to APHA and live in a fancy hotel and do things like that. So the next thing, so of the estimated 23.1 million people, they suffered 24.5 million medically treated injury episodes. And if you look at the data from NCHS, almost all of the estimates are based on episodes, because that's really what the survey is designed to report, and that's really the issue to go. But if you want to do person-based level, we also, and I'll show you later on how we actually had to look at persons and take the first reported injury as a way of being able to look at that. But 55% of these medically treated injury episodes sought treatment at the ED, 11% in clinics, 28% in doctor's offices, and 3% sought only a telephone advice. And I had a sort of a matrix table trying to show you this, how we get multiple reporting, but it was too big and complicated, and you wouldn't be able to read it from the back of the room, so I took it out. Privately insured persons use the ED for 50% of episodes versus 65% for the uninsured. So already, even just in the crude analysis, we're starting to see some differences as to whether you go to the ED or not for the uninsured. And the interesting thing is those with public health insurance, which is the Children's Health Insurance Fund and a variety of, and Medicaid, Medicare, they actually behave very similar to those with no health insurance, which was actually a little bit of a surprise to us. Of the estimated 98 million injuries over the 4 years, we analysed the 92 million have this first treated medically treated episode, which I mentioned earlier. Those with private health insurance were 35% likely to seek care at an ED than the uninsured, controlling for the demographic factors. So basically controlling for the type of injury, the cause of injury, the nature of injury, all of these other things. Health insurance status was a major determinant as whether you've made it to the emergency room for your treatment of your injury compared to going to other places. And this is just the summary table from this. We can see the unadjusted odds ratios at the front, at the top, and then the other one is when you adjust it. And this actually doesn't make a huge difference. It clearly, you know, makes it more refined, and you actually get lower estimates that for the private 0.65, higher other compared to 0.53 for the unadjusted estimate. So injured males were 1.3 times more likely to seek care at the ED for the exact same injury cause when you adjust for it. Non-Hispanic blacks were 1.4 times likely to visit the ED for an injury as non-Hispanic whites. And persons with crushing injuries, amputations, open wounds, fractures, or poisonings are more likely to seek care at the ED than those with sprains or strains, which is not that surprising. And you're more likely to go to sort of sprains, strains, you've got less of the urgency, and you might wait to go and see your private physician. The other thing that was one of the surprising to us, there was also very significant regional variation. There's higher emergency department use amongst injured persons from the northeast, midwest, and south as compared to the west. And there was also considerable some variation by income. The higher level of threshold income, 300% more of the poverty level, they were much less likely to use the ED for care compared to the rest of the group, but actually once you got above that high threshold income level, there was actually not much difference in the lower income level. So income itself wasn't the major determinant. It was really the health insurance status, and it was only in the high income that it showed that. So conclusions and discussion, what can we say about this? Is that ED data may not be representative of all medically treated injuries. Privately insured persons are significantly less likely to use the ED for treatment of similar injuries, and I think we've adjusted for a lot of these things. And this may affect issues such as quality and access to care and the cost of treatment. There's an increasing concern about the whole issue of rising medical costs, cost containment, and clearly just the existence of having private health insurance made a big difference as to where, even with adjusting for income, except for in these very high income levels. And the likelihood of using the ED for medical treatment also varies by all of the factors that I originally hypothesized that it did vary with, which was really nice to see. And so my word of caution really is when talking about national injury estimates based on ED databases, we really have to be thinking about these potential biases and what really we're talking about with regard to these injury estimates, and that they really aren't really a good estimate of the non-medically treated injuries, even when you're adjusting for all the factors that we looked at, and you've got to look at all these other various factors when you consider this. Just like to acknowledge the various people who have given us assistance from National Center for Health Statistics and also from UMass when we get involved in some of the complicated modeling problems, and when we tried to use our SAS sample to do the analyses and it sort of blew up at us and we had to go back to Sudan. And I will just finish off with this and like to take any questions. Yes. The issue was whether recall bias might be a major issue for some of these differences and whether there might be some differential recall within the groups. It's actually an interesting point, and maybe I think it's come up, it would be interesting. Margaret Warner did a very nice paper a year or two ago on the whole issue of injury recall and has recommended that they go with a 1 month or is it 2 week recall? I can't remember which. 5 weeks, that's right. And we used the 3 month recall to give us a large enough numbers. And I think this is a good example where it would be worthwhile to redo the analysis, you making the 5 week recall period to see whether that made any difference. And that would be sort of certainly a simpler version of trying to do that and to try and address that. But it is a good point.
Yes. Did you consider looking at the urbanization of the patient's residence?
That was one of the things. Unfortunately, that's not in the public use data tape, and we've been having some discussions with our friends at NCHS to try and get that. So it would be a tremendous variable to have, and it's one of the things we'd be interested in looking at. And I think it is a big issue. I know my father was a general practitioner in a small country town in New Zealand, and they used to do everything in a small country town. They used to set fractures, do major suturing, and all of that type of stuff. Whereas in the city, they basically, after 5 o'clock, the doctors closed their offices and you're told to go to the emergency room. And so I think there clearly are issues like that, and I think that's some of the regional variation in what we were seeing as well. I think it's a good point. I think that's clearly part of the issue. I think it's very definitely part of the issue. And you could see how that even that income is one indicator of that was likely an issue. And I think that's all part of the issues of trying to how to get... they say, well, you've technically got public health insurance, you know, how accessible and what kind of wait times and how long is it going to take to get an appointment, those type of issues. I think that's part of the access to care issues. severity. Yeah, we adjusted by the, we used the nature of injury, which was what we used for a crude proxy for severity. We separated them into fractures, contusions, lacerations, and the sort of the basic injury group, and that was what we used as a proxy for severity. Obviously, the ICD codes weren't detailed enough to do formal injury severity score, because most of them are going to be too low a severity anyway.
Thank you so much, sir.